Hello and welcome to the Faith in Football podcast, where we discuss the intersection of our faith and the game of soccer. Tune in for insightful discussions and inspiring stories where the beautiful game meets spiritual reflection.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Faith and Football, the podcast where we talk about how your faith intersects with the sport that we love, the game that we love, soccer, or as most of you probably like to call it, football, especially our guest today. But my name is Rusty Bryant. I am here with my co-host, Logan Bryant, who's also my kid, my son. He's not really a kid anymore. He's a grown-up human being. But we have an incredible show for you today. We are going to actually be chatting with one of our all-time favorites, Lucas Almeida. So, Lucas, want to say welcome to you before we get started. So, thanks for taking some time to be with us today.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for having me. It's my pleasure.
Good deal. So, Lucas is from Brazil. You recognize a little bit of a funny accent there. And so hopefully you guys can at least understand Brazilian accents as we talk. But Lucas was here several years ago, was a big part of our team for a couple of years and kind of stuck around and was a part of the club. But more than that, he kind of became family to us mm-hmm. and spent some time just in our house and staying with us and spending the night keeping our dog. And then, you know, there was the whole Heather, my wife, and Logan's mom, she pulled the whole
matchmaking process.
She did the whole matchmaking thing.
She did indeed,
and seemed to have worked out pretty well for Lucas. So Lucas met Hannah while he was here, and probably one of the greatest honors and privileges of my life was getting to perform their wedding. So that was really cool to be able to do that, and so now. He lives up in Missouri, where he is the head coach of Hannibal LaGrange. Just started that, and we're going to kind of let him tell a little bit of his story, but I'll let Logan jump in here for a second.
Yeah, so we just, as we've kind of started and introduced you a little bit, we kind of just want you to go back and talk about your soccer career from the time you were in Brazil to how you got to the States to playing and coaching and doing all the things. We just kind of want to hear your soccer journey. So tell us about that.
Man, do we have enough time for all of this? I'll give you the short version, somewhat of a short version. Born and raised back in Brazil, grew up there playing, tried to go the pro routes until I was 21 years old. Things didn't work out. Got to let it go from a couple clubs, didn't know what to do next. And then God opened a door for me to come to America. Landed in Houston, Texas, stayed there for 6 months before transferring to Oklahoma Wesleyan University. And that's where the life started to change. Last 2 years came to Brea, played the last 2 summers in my college career. Loved it, every second of it, everything you guys stand for, everything you guys do. And that's where life started happening. Met my wife, thanks to Heather. I still tell that story to everybody. I remember her the first day that we had a home match selling t-shirts in the little tent. So that's the first time I crossed eyes with her and been married since. And now to the college coaching opportunity. Before that, I played some professional indoor soccer for the Tulsa Revolution and the San Luis Ambush. And now focusing on the coaching career more than anything. But that's the speedy version of it.
That was an extremely speedy version because people don't know the extent. I mean, like you have had a very impressive, it's a very impressive soccer resume and quite a career. And, you know, of course, we've been able to spend a lot of time with you, so we know lots of backstories mm-hmm. and things like that. But one of the things, what were the years that you actually played for Mississippi Brea?
It was 14 and 15, both summers.
Okay, 14.
If I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on it.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was somewhere right around in there. I probably should have looked it up too. But then, I mean, the cool thing is that you stuck around and you were able to do some coaching and stuff. And yeah, I mean, even Coach Logan's little academy team. And those players from that team, I mean, they're all seniors this year.
We're all still playing together.
And they still remember you and they still talk about you.
Oh, yeah.
I should. I sure remember them too.
Well, you did something good because they're going for a third straight state championship this year, and they haven't lost in about 40-something games. So
it's all because of Lucas, if you think about it.
That's it. All because of my coach back then.
So real quick, though, so you went to Oklahoma Wesleyan. That's where you played college soccer, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah, and that, I mean, what a great school. I mean, that is a great school that has put out some fantastic players, mm-hmm. always make a great run in the tournament, and just a really good program. I think that they are kind of, they're great feeders to clubs like us because of the faith, that the faith-based part of it that they represent, and so... You know, for a guy like you coming in, I mean, you were already sort of primed and ready to be a part of Bria and what we represent. Mm-hmm. Before we move on a little bit into that, though, I want to talk for just a second about your career with the St. Louis Ambush in the indoor pro indoor soccer league. Like, you know, you're trying to be all humble and stuff, but that's a big
thing. That is a big thing.
And look, we followed you for years.
I still have the jersey that you gave us.
Yeah, we got jerseys floating around here. And and I just tell a little bit about that experience, because I know you were a big part of that organization, even working for that organization while you were playing some. So just tell, I mean, that's a little different from probably what a lot of our listeners will have heard before. So talk a little bit about the indoor game for a minute.
Yeah, so I didn't know anything about indoor. I didn't know there was a league. I didn't know it exists. And then after my second year with you guys at Bria, was debating what's next for me, you know, working and all, but I wasn't ready to let soccer go. And then opportunity presented itself in Tulsa first, and I played my first year in the league there. At first, I didn't love it. Indoor soccer is a different sport. We don't play that in Brazil. It's somewhat close to futsal, but still a lot different with the walls and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then after that year, I got transferred to St. Louis, came here. I also did some work in the office, sales and things like that, helping the club grow and things like that, and been part since then. 9 years now. I think this is my 9th season, 10th total pro, and the 9th season with Ambush. And I love it. I love what we stand for. I love the people. And I'm one of those old romantic guys that, you know, I love being the old school that has been here all this time without no interruptions, never left and things like that. So great fan base, great people around, and still gives me an opportunity to share my love for the game, you know.
That's incredible. 9 years?
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's impressive. So are you still currently playing for them?
Yeah. This year was my last year of my contract. I was settled with the retirement coming in. You know, when I moved here to Hannibal to coach college, I was like, you know, it's time to hang the boots. And then the owner called. He's also the head coach. He calls and say, we could use the help and the experience. And I'm like, you know what? I can still have some in my tank. So now I drive an hour and 15, 20 minutes for practices, and I'm still playing. Unfortunately, I cannot make every game due to commitment and work that has to come first, but I'm there as much as I can to help as much as I can with the guys.
That's so cool. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you were still with them. That's really cool.
Yeah,
we played 5 games so far this year, and I think I played 3 of them or 4. So trying to do my best.
You score any?
I did. Last game, I got a couple.
There you go.
Lucky ones, I would say. But yeah, we still hang. You know, we still can contribute.
That's cool. That's awesome.
That is really awesome. Not for you to give things away too much, but do you think this will be your last run at this?
It should. If we're being realistic, it should. It probably should have been my last one last year. But you know, as much as I can help, you know me, and you know what we stand for. If we can keep helping, we will do our best to help others. You know.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, you know, you were here at a time where we actually had 3 or 4 other guys from that group that you played with that went on to play professional indoor soccer, which is really, really weird because that's not something that usually happens. But, you know, Eduardo, which we call Dudu, and Victor, and then Nacho. So these guys all been playing in the league for,
I forgot about all that.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, do you still keep up with those guys? Are they still playing, or have you outlived all of them?
No, we sure do. Dudu, we stay in touch all the time. He came to watch one of my handball games here. He came visit.
Oh, that's cool.
A good friend of mine, and he's still doing well in Florida. Nacho, we're big rivals there in Kansas City. That's our biggest rival right here. We played against each other often on the field. He acts like he doesn't know me, but off the field, when it's done, we're back to being friends and all that. So still checking on some of those guys. And I spoke to my mom, who was with me in Bria too back in those days. He's back in Chile now, but we still have contact.
Oh,
so we
yeah,
still
Manu.
Keep contact
yeah.
with many, yeah, yeah. many of the guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. That is really cool. Well, I just think it's neat because there's not a lot. I mean, most of the people that we're gonna talk to and have talked to throughout these episodes, they're not. That's a little bit of a different route. So yeah. Just thought it'd be really cool to to explore that for a minute.
Indoor soccer, you don't really hear much about pro indoor soccer, but we watched a couple games and we got to see what was
so
going
fun
on.
and it's so awesome. Exciting.
It's yeah. like it's. It's fast and it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great time.
It's chaotic. It's chaotic. But it's a good chaos. I love it.
Yeah. So you played for Bria, we said 14 to 15 era. So just talk a little bit how Bria developed you as a player and then also spiritually, like with your walk with the Lord. Because you were at church most Sundays with us. We would drive by the apartments, pick you up, take you to church, and go eat afterwards. It was always fun, and we just kind of knew that you would be there. So just talk about a little bit how Bria impacted that, your spiritual walk.
Definitely. All started in Oklahoma, to be fair. You know, growing up, I was raised believing in God, but never had a relationship, never understood pursuing and reading and all that. And then Oklahoma kind of initiated the curiosity. Coach Jamie did a good job with us and the way he presented and things like that. And then coming to Bria, it was just seeing, you know, not just words, but actions, the way you guys make things happen, the way you guys love on others and things like that. It just made my faith grow and my desire to understand a little bit better. And then I start digging in deep, you know, going to church, reading my Bible, pursuing a relationship. And it has only increased and been tremendously for me. You know, I don't know what I would have done without it. And on the soccer field, it was the same way. You think you know it all until you get different coaches, different teammates, and different opportunities. And coming to you guys, there was always better people around, you know, so you had to step it up your game. You had great coaches both years that I was there, so you had to learn from them a lot of different things and apply those things to fight on the field and compete for a spot. So both of those areas was strengthened by being there, and I couldn't be more thankful for it. You know, I don't know where I would have been if things would have gone in a different route.
Well, you are just kind of the perfect. I mean, like if we had to just handpick, but but if we had to really dive deep and handpick the type of person to be here and play for us, I mean, you're it. And and I mean, you showed that from day one when you were here. And you know, it was funny when Logan asked the question, or when he was asking about your faith, and he said something about, you know, going to church and stuff, and I started thinking. Yeah, well, there was a girl up on stage at church,
That's true. That is very true.
You know, and as much as we have to thank Heather, we have to thank Russ, too. Because I don't know if you remember, but we had a conversation before everything went on, and you were very supportive. So you have to take some credit.
Well, I want to take some credit because wasn't your first date at my baseball game?
No, that wasn't him. That was a whole nother match.
No
make.
Way.
Yeah.
Theirs was downstairs, right?
Well, no. Heather,
there's so many people.
We match make many people. But I would sing with Hannah, who is an incredible worship leader. She is absolutely phenomenal. We miss her so much around here. But I loved any time I was up on stage with her and being able to lead worship with her. But we gotta talk just for a minute, because one of the biggest nights of your life took place in our backyard. So can you just tell us a little bit about that, what you remember from that night?
No, man, that was chaos. If I remember well, a few weeks prior to that, and I'll reach out to you, one of our first date, official date, was a frog hat. It wasn't at there, but we had many dates where we met at your place because I was taking care of the dog and she would come visit and hang out and things like that. So I wanted to use the house where we, you know, spend a lot of time and got to know each other as a place to propose. So, you know, we plan everything. We set up the backyard, lights and flowers and music and pictures and everything. And then we made the surprise. She didn't know I was there. You guys helped me, telling her to go take care of the dog for you. And then when she walked in, she lost words. Shit, so did I. But thankfully, she cut her hair to say yes. You know, that was nice of her.
That's so cool. And you weren't living here at the time because you had to come That's back right. in to surprise her, right?
That's correct. I was already in St. Louis already. Yep.
Yeah, man.
I remember that. I remember you, like, coming home, and I didn't really know what was going on because I was still a little bit younger. And I walked in, and I was like, what's going on? And my dad was like, Lucas is about to propose. I was like, what? I was like, in our backyard? I was like, I thought it was so random, but now looking back, it's the coolest thing.
You guys were a big part of it, and that house was a big part of it too. You know, it was many opportunities to get to know each other and hang out and all that. So yeah. I'm forever going to be thankful, and I'll forever remember that place too. You know, you guys better never move.
Well, that was, we talk a lot just about, and people that play here and go on and do other things, that's one of the things that they've always said is that it's like a family. And, you know, when stories like this kind of continue even beyond family, I mean, like deep root family stuff, it's like, yes, this is what we're here for, and this is what we try to do.
Yeah, so. And we just love doing that. It's so cool to see. Yeah.
Even though it wasn't the first day, Logan, we were at your baseball game. I remember the picture of us.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah,
I
thought I was. Came.
It wasn't the first day, but I thought so.
No,
remember the picture.
Was one of them.
Yeah,
it was one of them. Well, I don't know if we could call that, but.
No, I'll take a little bit of credit. If you've given some out to my parents, I'll take a little bit.
There you go. It was all, we were all apart.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So, Lucas, just as you were walking through your soccer career, going all the different places that the Lord led you, which is awesome to hear the doors that he opened for you, just tell us kind of how your faith influenced those decisions. Did it make it easier? Did it make it difficult to live for Jesus while playing soccer? Or was it always just kind of like natural to you? Just talk a little bit about that.
I would say it got easier. I mean, the walk is always harder, relationship and taking the time to focus and things like that. But it got easier as far as he presented the opportunities. He opened many doors, also helped me making those decisions and guide me through making some. You know, I had opportunity to leave St. Louis and go to other clubs, even on the indoor league. And the Lord always told me, you're in the right place where you're supposed to be. Stay there and do your thing. And I think people don't realize the opportunity we have through soccer, you know, the many different people you meet, the many different backgrounds and different personalities. And it was always an opportunity for me to share the gospel with new people, even though I stayed in the same place. So if we were one day to take the story, break it down and tell the details, it was the Lord from day one. You know, he had it the way he wanted, and we still feel the same way taking this job here at Hannibal. Hannah and I, you know, pray about it, thought about it, and it was like, that's where the Lord wants us, and that's what we're going to do. That's so awesome. We are very thankful for,
Man, that's neat. And, I love the way that God's just kind of directed you guys along your path. The whole way. And one of the things I was thinking about is just, you know, I've been able to see you as a player and even coaching the little kids. And, you know, just as you've done that, you've always just the way that you treat people and the way that you talk to people, you know, it is a testimony and it's a witness just like that. But I was a little bit curious because I haven't seen you coach at like a high level and a college level. So I know that where you are, you have a job to do. Like you've got a job to do to get players and develop them and make them gel and win soccer games. Yeah. But in the midst of all that, I know your heart. And so I know that it's all about people. But how do you sort of incorporate your faith into coaching now that you're coaching at, you're coaching grown men and, sort of, but but coaching at that level, like how do you, what's kind of your method and how do you go about incorporating the two things?
That part I have to give credit to James, you know, growing up or playing with him for 4 years in Oklahoma. It was never somewhat forced, you know, it was always very natural, very organic. And I kind of feel the same route, you know, soccer gives us that opportunity to connect. Most of my players are South Americans here in college. And then to be able to naturally, you know, we bring them to the house. We have breakfast on Saturdays. We share what we believe on. They see the way I do with my family, my daughter, my wife. And you hope that those little things will spark them that interest to pursue the Lord and learn more about it, because that's what he did it for me. So it's kind of similar. We also create opportunities for them to to feel in a safe place, you know, praying before and after practice, game day devotions and things like that, that we hope that we will absorb. But we try not to. It's a hard balance of, you know, them not understanding and they shying away from it and then being curious and wanting to know more. So we try to use that. But I think what you said is key is the relationships that it make, the opportunity that it makes. Now, the school is also a Christian school, very similar to Oklahoma Wesleyan when I was there. So we have way more freedom and opportunities in that sense to do what we believe is right, you know.
Well, I love that you, you know, take bits and pieces of other lives that you have lived at Oklahoma Wesleyan and Bria. And I mean, it just sounds like the things that you're taking and doing with your team are just things that you kind of have picked up along the way. And, you know, but I mean, everything that you were saying, like how you do things with your team, I'm like, well, and that's Bria. Like, it's all about the relationships.
Does it sound similar to you?
I was like, oh, y'all
eating lunches and dinners.
Y'all eat at our house all the time. And
but that's it. I mean, it's not something, I mean, I just think that, you know, we live in this, we live in an age where it really is all about relationships. Right. Yeah. And, you know, the great thing about you guys, you and Hannah being, you know, in leadership roles like you are and coaching, I mean, you're just like you're the perfect people because you get it. Like, you get the relationship side of it. And it's not this, you know, you even said the word organic. And like, that's how we feel about Bria. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, how can we live our life every day? And I love that you said, you know, they get to see how I react with my wife and my kid. Yeah. And that's what it's about. Because when they leave you, you know, they're gonna always remember, well, that's how Lucas did it. And, you know, Lucas was a man of God, faithful and strong in his faith, and like they just learn and pick up on that. Yeah. And I just love that example that you are
at the beginning.
We also create opportunities for them to feel in a safe place, you know, praying before and after practice, game day devotions and things like that, that we hope that we will absorb. But we try not to. It's a hard balance of, you know, them not understanding and they shying away from it and then being curious and wanting to know more. So we try to use that. But I think what you said is key is the relationships that it make, the opportunity that it makes. Now, to think about it, like Russ just said, you know, we're fruit of our experience, but experiences can change and they can impact your life. And you said it, you know, your family always opened the door. You treated me like family. I saw the way you guys interact as a family, from running with the dog and then raising the kids and being a good spouse and all of that. Same with Bria, you know, you never forced on us anything. For the ones that had more curiosity, we pursue more and did more. The ones that had less, they had the freedom to take their time. And I'm a believer, you know, in those experiences that I had, it shaped my life. So I want to reflect those with others and hopefully change their lives too, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. So we've kind of talked about your walk through Bria and then after, but just go back to Bria for a second. We just want to hear your favorite Bria memory. You spent 2 years with us. There was a lot going on. If your wife listens to this, she might want to hear that she was part of your favorite memory, but if not, it is what it is. So why don't you just go ahead and just tell us what your favorite memory was?
Man, it's hard to pick some of them, but there's a couple that stand out. I remember the first game. I think we came back. We were losing that game with a goal in like the 89th minute.
Yes.
And I remember Rusty running around the track and celebrating and jumping out up and down. So that was a fun one. There was some off the field too that we remember. And definitely my wife, you know, that was a great memory on Bria too. And I remember first day walking the stadium and she's by the tent. We didn't talk. But, you know, you look and you're like, okay. And then, you know, 10 years later, here we are. So I have some very good ones, very good memories. Some not so good ones, too, when Rebel ate my T-shirt out of the table at your house. Yeah, there's some bad ones. One of my favorite T-shirts, you know, that he chewed on himself.
I didn't remember that. Yeah,
that's hilarious. That is good stuff.
I also remember beating you and Luke on video games, which you guys are not going to remember.
I don't think I remember that.
I sure you don't.
That's funny. All right, so a couple of little light questions. Oh, wait. I have
a Bria memory with you here. When your family came and cooked in the concession stand, was that...
He wasn't my family, but he was
friends. Okay. I thought it was someone. What was it that they made? It was something
it was
Brazilian.
Pastel.
Yes,
it was
so good.
Banana kind of thing. And Russ allowed us to sell it. We we did okay there. You know, everybody enjoyed, seemed to enjoy that.
Yeah, that was really neat. I'd really forgotten about that, but that was a bunch of, that was some of your friends.
Some friends
and,
that come in.
Yeah, Dudu, Andre, all the guys from Bellhead that we used to live together.
That's right. That is, that's a great memory.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. All right, so to wrap it up, a couple of more lighter questions for you as we finish things. All right, so obviously you are a huge fan of your home country, Brazil, and the national team. So who is your all-time favorite Brazilian national team player?
Ronaldo, the original one. Don't come with Cristiano Ronaldo.
R9.
The classic.
There you go. Oh, that's good. I would tend to agree with that.
I never saw him play.
Oh, man. Phenomenal.
That was different breed.
Yep, for sure. So do you follow professional soccer in Brazil?
Only my team, São Paulo, every Sunday, you know, afternoons after church. That's my me time, and I get to watch them play and follow them up.
I love it. So besides Brazilian soccer, what other professional leagues around the world do you follow?
Man, I watch anything and everything that's soccer related, sometimes too much, according to my wife. But I just love the game. And sometimes, you know, it's third division, fourth division, and she's like, this is not even good soccer. And I'm like, well, depending on who you ask. So, you know, I follow them all. I don't cheer on anybody, but I do follow. You name it, I follow, you know. I definitely watch them.
Speaking of third, fourth-ish division, have you kept up with the whole Wrexham thing?
I have not. That's one that I haven't followed. I watched the show, and I know they were, you know, moving up and winning and competing, but I haven't followed much with. So that's one that I need to pick it up because that's a beautiful story too.
It is. It's pretty fascinating.
It is.
So sticking over on that side of the world, do you follow the Premier League very much?
Sure do.
Do you have a favorite team?
Man, Brighton's playing some unbelievable soccer. So is Manchester City, but that's expected given. Man U is struggling. So I'm not a big fan of them. I think they have an attitude about it that I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I like soccer, but there are some teams that are looking pretty solid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as a coach, you know, you try to mimic and replicate some of those ideas.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So who's your favorite coach right now?
Guardiola has to get done in all times.
Has said that.
I think everybody says that. That's pretty impressive. That it's the general consensus.
I don't think there's any other coach that can control a game the way he does. And it's not all perfect by no means. But and then we have the Brazilian national coach, Fernando Diniz, is also doing a phenomenal job. And the fact that they care about the people and not just the game, it's a plus, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's cool. Well, Lucas, you have meant so much to our family and to Bria, and we're so proud of everything that you guys are doing and love you and your family and love what you're doing up in Missouri. And obviously, we follow you, and we wish you nothing but the best. And, of course, we're going to continue to stay in touch like we always do. But just thank you for spending a few minutes with us today.
No, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for having me. There's no words, honestly. There's no words I can put on that. Thank you guys for everything, not just the matchmaking and my wife and all of that, but the whole walk and the whole learning, the whole growth. I can never thank you guys enough for having me and make me feel part of the family, you know.
Awesome. Well, you always will be a part of the family. And to our listeners, hopefully this was an inspiration to you, just hearing from one of our favorites of all time, Lucas Almeida. And we'll be back with you soon with another great interview and a way to intersect your faith as you live out the beautiful game. And we'll see you next time.